Okay. So, good morning, everybody. My name is Sayandeep, and today I'm going to talk about our work on scalable video multicast to multiple clients using a mechanism that we call adaptive broadcast. Now, this work was done together with Neelkamal Madhavushi and Suman Banerjee at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Now, let me begin by stating our precise problem statement. We want to find out how to multicast HD quality video to clients who are connected to a single access point. And when I say HD quality video, I'm typically referring to videos which have a bitrate of 5 megabits per second or higher. Now, example scenarios where you can use such a service are when multiple people are watching some important event like Olympics opening ceremony while sitting near a hotspot, or students sitting in their classroom and rather sitting in their dorm rooms and watching a remote classroom lecture, or employees sitting in their offices and watching an important business meeting being telecast. So the outline of the talk is going to be like this. I have already defined my problem statement. Next, I'm going to talk about the current Wi-Fi-based mechanisms that you can use to do video multicast. And when I talk about these mechanisms, I'm going to point out what is good and what is bad about them. So the idea is, by the end of it, we come up with a set of good features that we can use for our video multicast system. Now, before I describe our solution, which we call Medusa, I'm going to show you a small video clip which shows how much performance enhancements can Medusa potentially provide you. Then, I will talk about the internal system details of Medusa. I will present some results and finally conclude my talk. So, when talking about current mechanisms, I'm first going to talk about doing video multicast using Wi-Fi unicast. And then I'm going to talk about Wi-Fi broadcast. So when we want to do video multicast using Wi-Fi unicast, what we end up doing is we start simultaneous unicast sessions to all the clients. So what this means is the same video is copied as many times as there are clients, and each one gets its own copy of the video. So in this case, the way it's delivered it, the video first comes to the access point, and the access point is going to give each client a packet, one at a time. So here, the leftmost client is going to get the first packet, and then it's going to send a MAC layer ACK. Now, to show a good property of Wi-Fi unicast, let us assume that the packet for the third client got lost. Now, this might happen due to some channel errors that crept in. So in that case, what the access point is going to do is, after some time, it's going to do a MAC layer retransmit. Now, this is, in this case, the client was able to receive the packet, and it sent out a MAC layer ACK. So this is good, because if we are able, the ability to do rate adaptation is good given the error-prone nature of the wireless medium. Now realize MAC layer ACKs also act as a feedback about the channel quality at the client. So we can potentially do rate adaptation based on them. And that is also a good property to have, because if you can do rate adaptation, you can potentially reduce your rate if the channel quality is bad and lose lesser packets. And if it is good, you can be highly efficient by selecting a high rate. To summarize, the good things that we want is the adaptive nature of unicast, so that we can do retransmissions and high rate adaptation. The bad thing is each client needs a separate copy, which seems inefficient. Now, what about Wi-Fi broadcast? So when we do video multicast using Wi-Fi broadcast, we just need one copy of the packet. This copy comes to the wireless access point, and this is sent out using Wi-Fi broadcast. So each client potentially receives the packet. So potentially, just one copy of the packet is good enough for all the clients. Now, there is a problem. The problem is you do not have any MAC layer X in Wi-Fi broadcast. And the reason is this Wi-Fi, the MAC layer X are a highly time-synchronized thing which happen in hardware. Basically, they should go out within 20 microseconds of a successful packet reception. So if they were allowed, simultaneously multiple clients will send X, they would collide, and nothing good would come out of them. Now, this obviously is bad because once the MAC layer X go away, your MAC layer retransmissions go away. You do not have any idea of what is the channel quality now. And so you cannot do any rate adaptation. And essentially, in current Wi-Fi solutions, you go and use the lowest bit rate possible in this case. So if you use 802.11a or g, you would end up sending all your packets at 6 Mbps. So summarizing, the good thing we want is one copy of the video packet seems to satisfy all the clients. And the bad things are there is no retransmission and there is no feedback. So what we want to do is combine the best of both. We need to come up with an adaptive broadcast mechanism. Specifically, in adaptive broadcast, we should send only the necessary packets. We should be able to do retransmissions, and we should be able to do rate adaptation for efficient video multicast. So can we do anything else? And the answer is yes. And this is because of a well-known fact that not all video packets are created equal. In fact, it is well-known that some video packets affect the quality that at the receiver far more than some other video packets. Also, realize not all video packets have the same importance for each client. A trivial example, if one client receives a video packet, for him, this packet becomes useless. But if another client hasn't received the packet yet, he considers it really valuable. So what we want to do is we want to take this into account when we take our adaptive broadcast decisions. So we should assign our rate to maximize the video quality instead of just maximizing throughput, as is the current state, as it is done traditionally. So what this means is we might potentially send the more important packets at a lower rate so that they face lesser errors and send the lower priority packets, if necessary, at a higher rate just to compensate. We should transmit valuable packets earlier, and this we should do so that we can potentially retransmit them many more times. And this should be done instead of the current mechanism, which is just transmit the packets in which order you receive them. And we should retransmit also based on priority. So this means that more important packets should potentially be retransmitted many more times instead of having a fixed number of retransmissions for all video packets. To summarize, we want to come up with a value-aware adaptive broadcast. And this is what we do in our system, which we call Medusa. Now, Medusa stands for media delivery using adaptive pseudo broadcasts. And specifically, in this, we do rate adaptation, packet ordering, and retransmission based on the priority of the packets. Now, in this talk, I'm just going to talk about rate adaptation and packet ordering. The details of retransmission planning are in the paper. Also note, we are doing pseudo broadcast. Now, this is done to take care of another problem, which is back-off estimation. Now, I'm also not going to talk about this problem. So for this talk, I'm just going to assume that I'm going to send video over broadcast, Wi-Fi broadcast. So before I describe the details of my system, let us quickly look at what would be the quality enhancement that Medusa is going to provide. So for this experiment, what we have done is we have sent a 5 megabits per second video, which is encoded using MPEG-4 format, to 5 clients. We used an evaluate sender and a QuickTime player at the clients. The channel error rate was between 15 to 25%. And what I'm going to show you is the video as it looks on the screen of the worst client when I'm using Wi-Fi broadcast and when I'm using Medusa. So first I will show you Wi-Fi broadcast. So it's kind of staggering at times because it's skipping frames. Channel quality goes bad, and it kind of persists over time. It never actually is recovering. So the stagger is essentially because it's losing packets, going bad. Right. So this is the worst client performance that you would see in case of Medusa. By the way, this also kind of has a bit of a jitter because we are playing these frames at 15 frames per second, whereas the original video was at 30 frames per second. But hopefully the difference in quality should be obvious. So at some point, Medusa is also going to glitch. But the point to note is, even if it glitches, it recovers soon enough. It glitches, it recovers. And this is essentially because of the adaptive broadcasts that we are doing. OK. So now I'm going to talk about the internal details of this Medusa system. Now, revisiting the traditional wireless LAN architecture, Medusa introduces three new components. It puts in a proxy module, and it makes software-only changes to the access point and the clients. The proxy module is the heart of this Medusa system. What it does is it sits between the video server and the clients, and it transparently intercepts all the video packets before they reach the client. Now, once Medusa server has these video packets, it does the following. It figures out a value for each of these packets. And how exactly the value is calculated, I'm going to talk after this. And if we assume that we know the Medusa proxy has been able to calculate the values, it decides the fight rate and order in which these packets are going to go out. Now, once it has decided these, it's just going to send the packets to the access point. Access point module, once it receives this packet, is going to do a very simple thing. It's going to send out these packets using Wi-Fi broadcast at a PHY rate which the proxy server specified. So once these packets reach the client every now and then is going to send a bulk application layer asynchronous ACK. So realize these asynchronous ACKs are application layer packets. So before sending them, the client has to contend for the channel. Now this will ensure that the ACKs do not collide. Plus, they are infrequent enough. Now once this ACK reaches the Medusa proxy, it can potentially figure out what packets it needs to retransmit. And it can also has an idea of the channel quality at each client. In other words, we have feedback from clients. So now, to revisit the question, how do we determine the value of the packets in the first place? So the value is a quantity which signifies the worth of the packets for the overall performance that each client is going to experience. The value of a packet depends on the type of frame that we use. If we take the example of MPEG-4 encoded video, which is what we have been experimenting with, there are three types of frames that are present. You have I-frames, P-frames, and B-frames. Now, for this talk, I'm going to assume that a frame essentially results in one packet. In reality, it potentially produces multiple packets. Now, the value of a packet depends on how many other packets would not get decoded if this packet is not received correctly. So in generally, iframe has the highest number of other packets depending on itself. P packets has lesser, and B packets has the least number of packets depending on it. And we can calculate the number of dependencies at the proxy module once we receive the video. The value of a packet depends on its playback deadline. The nearer the deadline, the more important the packet kind of becomes for us. And finally, the value of the packet also depends on how many clients need it. So in this case, the first packet is needed only by one client, whereas the fifth packet is needed by all three clients. So this kind of makes the fifth packet more important than the first one. Now, the way we calculate the value in our implementation is we take a normalized function of these three parameters. This is a very simple function. There are more sophisticated functions which are available in video processing and signal processing literature. We haven't experimented with them. So now we have feedback. We know the value of the packets. The question is, how do we adapt rate, order, and do retransmission based on this value? Now, let me sketch through how exactly are we going to do rate assignment and ordering. So the rate assignment and ordering happens in two stages. In the first stage, I'm just going to, the initial PHY rate is so assigned such that all clients can receive all the packets with a very high probability. Now remember, we have feedback from the channel. So, or rather, we have feedback over the channel at the clients, so we know what is that rate going to be. Now generally, this ends up being a very low rate. Also, to fix the initial order, we just send them in the order of increasing value. So in this case, packet A is the most important packet, so it goes out first. And G is the least important packet, it goes out last. Now, generally what happens is if the channel quality becomes bad, this mechanism is really inefficient. So if you have one or two clients whose best rate is low, you might not be even able to send all the packets out before their deadline. So in that case, we do a second phase, which we call the final value-aware rate assignment and ordering. Now, the sketch of this algorithm is as follows. We start with the initial rate and order, and we have a time budget by which we are going to send out these packets. Now, given this, we order the packets so that they certainly meet their deadline in decreasing order of value. So if you have the most important packet, you are going to start with that and ensure that it definitely meets its deadline. Then go to the next important packet, and so on. Now, what might happen is a low-value packet might not even be able to meet its deadline because the more important packets occupied that much airtime because they were sent at a lower rate. In that case, we are going to iteratively increase the rate of the lower-value packet. This is the rate adaptation part of our algorithm. And we call this operation the deflate operation. So we keep on trying to deflate as long as we cannot feed the packet, and if we cannot fit it, we just don't send it in this round. Now, after this is done for all the packets, what we have found is it sometimes is really over-penalizing the lower value packets at the cost of higher value packets. So we do just one pass of rate reassignment. In this, we are going to decrease the rate of this lower value packets by a bit, and to compensate for that, we are going to increase the rate of the higher value packets. Now, this operation we are calling inflate. More details are available in the paper for this operation. So this, notice two things. One is we order packets so that the more important packets definitely meet their deadline. So we are value aware here in our ordering. We increase the rate of the lowest packets if necessary. So our rate assignment is also value aware. So this concludes the description of Medusa. Now let me present a couple of results that we have. So the first result I have here is from an experiment in which we try to measure the scalability of Medusa system as the number of clients increases. So on the x-axis, I'm increasing the number of clients from 1 to 25. And y-axis, I'm going to present the PSNR, which is a measure of perceptual video quality. Now, for these set of experiments, the channel error rate was between 5 to 15%. We used this mobile calendar video clip. We played the clip for 2 minutes, and the clip was encoded at 5 megabits per second rate, and the line that I have there is an average of 20 runs. So the first line corresponds to individual unicast. So in individual unicast, what we do is we stagger the video transmission. That is, we send the entire video to the first client, then send it to the second client, and keep on doing this for all 25 clients. So this, in some way, is the best performance you would get if you use normal Wi-Fi. The second line I have here is for simultaneous unicast to all the clients. Now, this is for the obvious thing. This, in this, I have simultaneously transmitted the video to all clients. So what you can see here is, as the number of clients increases, the performance of unicast simultaneous is going to degrade drastically. And this is obvious because we are essentially multiplying the amount of load we are placing on the network with each client. And after some time, the channel cannot even support it. So sending the video over Wi-Fi broadcast has the middle green line. And as we can see, its performance degrades less rapidly, but it's still far worse than what individual unicast promises. So finally, Medusa. So as we can see, the Medusa performs really close to the individual unicast performance as we increase the number of clients. In fact, up till 25 clients, the performance of Medusa is within 3 to 4 dB of what the individual unicast promises. So to summarize this result, it seems that at least in this channel quality, for this channel quality, Medusa scales in number of clients. Now, scaling video quality. In this experiment, we increased the rate at which the video was encoded, and we kept the number of clients fixed to 10. The video rate was incremented from 1 Mbps to 20 Mbps in units of 5 Mbps. So again, unicast individual should potentially is giving the best performance that you can see. Again, simultaneous unicast is going bad drastically. Broadcast is again giving a performance somewhere in between. It's less gradual in its degradation. Now we have a surprising result. For Medusa, we see as the quality of the video increases, Medusa starts outperforming even individual unicast. Now, this is happening because of the value awareness that Medusa has. So what happens is, for certain clients, when we are doing individual unicast, the retransmissions are done without any knowledge of the importance of the packets. So in that case, the access point keeps on transmitting the less important packets again and again while missing the deadline for more important packets. So to summarize, Medusa seems to scale well even when we increase the quality of the video. In fact, at least in this channel conditions, it performs better sometimes. Concluding, we investigated the problem of providing scalable multicast HD video over Wi-Fi. We advocated taking MAC layer decisions based on the value of the packets that we have. We present a value-aware adaptive multicast media delivery scheme. We call it Medusa. We evaluate the performance of Medusa and find that it scales in number of clients as well as the video quality. So this concludes my talk. I can take your questions and suggestions now.
Questions. First one is the why does the quality of video go down when you use unicast to individual receivers one after another?
So out of the 10 clients, some of them have somewhat bad link quality, And what unicast, individual unicast is going to do, it's going to retransmit the packets at MAC layer. So let us say it cannot transmit the first B packet, which is the least important packets for now, in the first instance. It's going to retransmit it again and again unless it goes through. Now what happens is, because the video rate is so high, the queue is building up in the access point, and some of the I packets are missing their deadlines. In our case, what we end up doing is we see that the deadline is going approaching for other packets, so increase its value and then do retransmissions based on that.
So you're not really playing the video one, starting with the second client until you finish the first one. You do have a fixed starting time. That's why the queue builds up. Right? That's why the queue builds up.
So are you asking whether I do one video at a time in unicast, individual
right,
unicast?
Right. So do you actually send them one after another?
Or right. You, so you the video itself is of 2 minutes, right?
Okay.
So I do 2 minutes, again do 2 minutes. Now in this 2 minute, you have multiple frames, which have different priorities.
Okay. So. The same question is finally, what's the interval for sending this aggregate the acknowledgement back to the sender?
Right. So we have two parameters there. One is every 100 milliseconds, the access point is going to the client is going to fire asynchronous ACK, or when the video quality increases, every 100 packets that it has received, it sends out, whichever is the earlier one. So if 100 packets have been received, yeah.
How sensitive is
that? Let's let the next person ask a question. Sorry, thanks.
Romit from Duke. Nice work. I'm going to nitpick a little bit. So you send these asynchronous ACKs from the application layer, right?
Right.
And if you have other unicast transmissions going on interspersed with this video, these application layer ACKs will actually go back to the AP quite a bit late after the transmission happens.
Yes.
And then you have to collect asynchronous ACKs from all the clients. So by the time the media server has all the feedback, the channel could have already changed quite a bit. Over here, you played only videos. Therefore, you may not have seen that channel change. How do you propose to cope with that?
Right. So this is a very nice observation. So what we do in Medusa, and I haven't shown you graphs, but we have them in the paper, we are really conservative in our rate adaptation scheme. Right. So if the sample rate proposes a rate of 54 Mbps, we generally go at 24 Mbps. Also, realize we kind of try to send video at the lowest rate possible. If the video can go out at the lowest rate, we just send it at the lowest rate, right? So we are increasing rate only when necessary. So if you have a 5 Mbps video, at the end of the day, we might actually send the entire thing at 6 Mbps. So it might go through.
But suppose you have a real much higher quality video, which you have
right.
to send at a really
so
high
in
rate.
That case, we are going to be conservative in our rate. And by the time the feedback, so we are not waiting for all clients to report their feedback, right? Whatever feedback we have, based on that, we are going to do rate estimation. And that feedback, we are taking a very conservative estimate from that. So, yeah. So obviously,
I actually have one question also. So it seemed like one thing you're doing is actually advocating an end-to-end argument for media delivery, which is that you want a dumb network and move intelligence to the proxy, which as a systems person I think is great. On the flip side, if you squint at this, I actually couldn't get a great idea of what actually made this specific about wireless. It seemed like most of what you did, you had similar things in more reliable IP multicast type protocols. Some of the stuff about repair looks kind of like SRM and other things. So I was wondering kind of what's special wireless about this.
So the first thing that's different is the MAC. 802.11 ABG does quite a few things for you which you won't have in a higher layer or in wired network MACs, right? Ethernet, or rather, 802.3 won't do those things for you. Like, it won't do rate adaptation. It won't keep on retransmitting your packets. So I agree. It's essentially the cross-layer end-to-end argument that has let the application layer take decisions for you. But we are showing how exactly you want to do it if you have the MAC, which has some functionalities. So that's the new part, I think.
Thanks. Okay, let's thank the speaker.